Douglas Crook, Wednesday, May 12th, 2010.
Last week we began a series of lessons on the book of Proverbs. So if you'll open again to Proverbs chapter 1, we took the entire time last time to begin an introduction. We'll begin to read the first six verses of Proverbs this evening, so you can be opening to Proverbs chapter 1. We'll read the first six verses. But just before we read those opening verses, just to remind us where we left off last week, we emphasized how that as we go through the book of Proverbs, we'll see that there are four different kinds of people that are addressed. We have the simple ones. The simple ones, the simple individuals, are those who believe anything and everything because they have no conviction of their own. And so they are easily led from one thought and one philosophy and one idea to another. And then we have the fool. The fool is characterized by arrogance. He's puffed up. He thinks he knows everything and therefore doesn't want to listen to anyone that actually does know something about whatever the subject is that applies to him. That's a fool. And then we have the scoffer or the scorner. And this is one who is also arrogant, but there's more of an aggression in his rejection of truth. Not only does he think he knows what he needs to know, he openly and aggressively opposes truth. He openly and aggressively opposes true wisdom. And he also attacks those that embrace wisdom. So we see the progression there, if you will, of the rejectors of wisdom. And then, of course, the fourth class of individuals that are addressed in the book of Proverbs are those that are wise. And as we read these opening six verses, we see that these opening verses actually give us the statement of purpose of the book of Proverbs, and not only of the book of Proverbs specifically, but also we can broaden that purpose and include the entire Word of God. Why do we need to study the book of Proverbs? Why do we need to study the Word of God? We read the answer to that question in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. This is the purpose of these Proverbs. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you want to be wise, you need to know and understand these observations of life, these proverbs. You need to understand the Word of God. So what is true about the book of Proverbs is also true about the entire Bible in general. And so the first purpose that's stated here is that we might obtain wisdom. If you want to be a wise individual, you'll hear the Word of God. Wisdom, as we've stated in the introduction, means one of the definitions that we can use, is the ability to use knowledge correctly and successfully. It is one thing to know certain information and quite another to use that knowledge in an effective and a productive way. Now, the context of the wisdom of Proverbs and the context of the wisdom of the Word of God is always in prospering in the will of God. This is why it says that The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's your first step. You cannot even enter the realm of wisdom without first making the step of the fear of God. And the only true definition of the fear of God is faith in Jesus Christ. Because you cannot know God without knowing Christ. You cannot stand in awe of Him and serve Him and worship Him apart from faith in Jesus Christ. So this kind of wisdom that we're talking about, this spiritual, biblical, eternal wisdom, is only found in the Word of God. We say that all the time, but this is why it's so important to study the Word of God. And this is why we need to, personally, in our personal devotions, when we come for Sunday school, Wednesday night as we do here, Sunday, every time we come together, it's for the purpose of gathering in a little bit more of this eternal wisdom that will cause us to prosper in the will of God. It's not enough just to know it. We don't come together just so we can say, I know this. That's not wisdom. Just knowing things is not wisdom. Just intellectual consent that certain things are true, that's not wisdom. That won't cause you to prosper in the will of God. Wisdom comes from knowing the will of God and then applying that knowledge in a way that is productive and fruitful in the plan and purpose of God. In the debate that's going on now with the Supreme Court appointee, one of the statements that have been made, and I'm sure that every time that any president from any party makes the appointment, this statement is made in one form or another. We want our court justices to be intelligent people. Isn't it important that they be intelligent? Well, yes, but I would like not only, and this is, I'm going to make a general statement here, but then come to apply it to our own spiritual lives. There's only so much we're going to be able to do as far as the country is concerned. But I would like a wise person on the court. And that goes beyond intellect. That goes beyond knowledge. It goes to the fear of the Lord. I would like to see a Bible-believing evangelical on the court. Probably not going to happen. Why? Because those biblical worldviews are considered to be foolish by the world. But the Bible tells me true wisdom is someone who understands that this is God's world and that this is God's, that we are God's creation. And the only way for us to prosper as a people, as individuals, is to submit ourselves to the instruction of the will of God and apply it to our life. Then we will be successful. Then we will be wise. So knowledge has its place. It's an important element of wisdom. You can't truly be wise without knowledge. But knowledge alone is not wisdom. You must now begin to apply in a proper way that knowledge. 1 Corinthians 1. Proverbs targets youth and young people, not because its instruction and its wisdom is only good for them, but because it is important to save young people and children from a lot of foolish, hurtful ruin if they will apply wisdom from the beginning. As children, as young people, they can avoid a lot of hurt in life, a lot of wasted years. Now, for those that may have already had wasted years, you should not despair. Because the wisdom of Proverbs can begin to be applied at any stage in your life and will still be profitable for you and allow you to prosper in the will of God from this point on. So no matter what stage you're in, we need the wisdom of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:22. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. See, nothing really has changed much. There are the religious that are looking always for the spectacular, miraculous, and then there are the intellectuals of the world who try to find success in life through intellect. But Paul says, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. As I will constantly throughout the series target children and young people, it's not because I'm picking on you, but it's because these things will be profitable to you if you will listen. And you are being exposed at school and at different social functions. You're being exposed to the world's way of thinking, whether it be as we talked last week about creation. And after the service, some of the families came to me and told me that there's another very real attack on our children concerning their views on homosexuality, that it's being forced on them and told that it is a proper alternative, that there's nothing wrong with it, that it is morally good. This is another area where you have to decide, which wisdom am I going to embrace? There is a so-called wisdom of the world that is intellectual. It has its arguments. It has its debates. But they are all based on the rejection that God is God and that He is sovereign. And if you're going to embrace that wisdom, you need to know that's what you're embracing. And so for you to blindly, whether it be creation, homosexuality, or any of the other moral issues, if you embrace the world's wisdom, you're embracing a rejection of God and of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But when we come to the revelation that God has given us in His Word about what is right and wrong and what leads to success in life and what is good for us, we need to say what God says. And in that particular case, God says homosexuality is a sin. Now, we must have the scriptural response to that. We must be biblical in our response. The response to homosexuality and the support of homosexuality is not hatred. It is not bitterness. It is not name-calling. It is not to try to keep people from any social advance in the job or whatever. It's not an attack against individuals. But it is simply a standing with what God says is right. God says it's a sin. And the reason He says it's a sin is because it's self-destructive. It is not good. It will not cause you to live wisely, prosper in things, it will lead to destruction. So that's just one of the many areas that we'll be touching on as we go through the series. You have to choose what wisdom are you going to embrace. The Bible makes it clear. The Bible doesn't try to hide it. The world will call you a fool. But the Bible calls those who reject Christ and reject the will and the plan and the purpose of God, the Bible says, they are the fool. Who are you going to believe? The Word of God has proven itself to be true and reliable for centuries. Individuals that have believed the Word of God and lived lives of godliness, check to see how they end their life and how they live their life. And then look at those who have chosen the wisdom of the world and see. The choice really is clear. Satan is so good about coloring things, the things of the world, to be so beautiful and attractive. But when you look at it in the light of Scripture and the reality of life, it's pretty clear. Those who reject the ways of God are fools. But those who embrace the will of God and surrender to it are truly wise. Jesus is our wisdom. He made us wise. I don't have a lot of... I need to be careful when I say this, because young people, you need to get as much education as opportunity that you have. You for career, in order that you might support the will of God and the word of God, you need to be as highly educated as you have opportunity to be. But education in and of itself will not cause you to be wise. In fact, if you do not have the fear of the Lord, it will actually make you a fool. Jesus is our wisdom. He's what makes us wise. I don't have a lot of education, and that's not a boast. There are times when I wish I had gotten a different education, more education in some areas. That's not a regret, but neither is it a boast that I don't have a lot of degrees. But I believe that God has given me wisdom not because I am intellectually endowed, but Jesus is my wisdom. Because I accepted and I accept his will for my life, he has caused me to prosper in my choices in life. And the only, again, there's no boast except for Jesus is my wisdom. There are many that know a lot of things about life and a lot of things about religion and some things about God, but because they reject Jesus Christ, they're not wise. 2 Timothy 3:15. Proverbs, study in Proverbs will make you wise. It'll give you wisdom. It'll cause you to use knowledge in a proper way and a successful way. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child or from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So what was true about Proverbs specifically is also true in general of the entire Word of God. The Holy Scriptures will make you wise for salvation, for life. The second purpose that's stated in Proverbs, if you're turning back and forth there, keep your finger in Proverbs so you can spot these words in those first six verses. But the next stated purpose of Proverbs is that you might receive instruction. The word instruction simply means doctrine, teaching. It has to do with discipline that produces character that once again results in success. Do you know individuals that have a very weak character? You will find that that weak character comes from a lack of receiving and applying the instruction of the Word of God. Now remember, those classes that we mentioned will be addressed in Proverbs. They can be applied either to as a contrast between sinners and saints. In other words, sinners, all who reject Christ, are certainly simple, foolish, and scoffers. And those that accept Jesus as their Savior, no matter what their spiritual maturity is, because of accepting Christ, they can be considered wise. So there's that first application. And in most cases, it's probably the interpretation or the understanding. But there's also a very real application to contrast one believer with another. There are believers that are simple, foolish, and even scoffers. They're saved, but they fall within those classifications. And then there are Christians that are truly wise and mature, that go beyond just a saving knowledge, but they go on to spiritual maturity. That maturity comes from understanding doctrine, instruction. 2 Timothy 3. Now, in the book of Proverbs, we will not have a lot of what we would call doctrine, although many of the truths that are stated here, you will turn over to the New Testament and Paul's teaching, and you will find that those proverbs are the seed of doctrinal statements that Paul makes concerning practical living. So in a sense, there are certainly church doctrine to be found in Proverbs, at least the seed of it. But nonetheless, the entire Word of God is to be considered as the instruction of God for us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. Notice why. There's a purpose for this. There's a reason why you need to know the Bible. That you might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Once again, do you see the success that comes from heeding, from knowing and heeding and applying the Word of God? The Word of God will teach you how to walk in the will of God. It trains you how to please the Lord, and it trains you how to make choices that will be for your good and for His eternal glory. Titus chapter 2. When you study the Bible, whether you are a child or a young person, or whether you're older, this needs to be how you approach the Scripture. Don't just read the Bible to read it to say that you've read your portion today. Just reading the Bible that way has no, well, it will not maximize your profit. Just memorizing Scripture. Now, there's certainly nothing against memorization. It has not been one of my strong suits, but certainly nothing against it. But just memorizing Scripture will not lead to success in the will of God either. You need to approach the Bible and read it for the purpose of being instructed. It will discipline your character if you allow it, if you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you for that purpose, that it will actually will begin to form how I think, how I react. But most of God's people, if they read the Bible or listen to the Word proclaimed at all, it goes in one ear and out the other. And it is never allowed to actually come in, bring conviction, correction, instruction. Titus 2:11. But this is what the grace of God does. Not only does it save you, verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. But that same grace of God that saved you, it also is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice again the direct connection between sound living now in this life and the anticipation of the coming of the Lord. They are not contrary. In fact, you cannot live a godly life now in this life. You cannot have success in this life as God intends for you to have if you're not looking for Jesus to come. This is what this passage is saying. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. So it's on the authority of the Word of God that we make these statements. The Bible is the only source for instruction that will discipline your character and make it sound and make it profitable and fruitful. The third purpose stated is to perceive words of understanding. To perceive words of understanding. The phrase means to understand the why of difficult questions. That's how we can paraphrase the thought here. To understand the why of difficult questions. This thought is kind of repeated in, I think it's verse 6 there, where it talks about riddles and enigma. It's the same thought, and that's why I didn't include those in the purposes, the 10 purposes that we're looking at here. Because it's the same thought, these riddles and enigma, to perceive words of understanding, the difficult questions. Why? The world is looking for the answer to those questions. Anybody ever ask you, why is there so much suffering in the world today? And a lot of times it's in the context of, you believe in a loving God, don't you? Why is there so much suffering in the world today? Well, that's a difficult question, don't you think? And it's kind of a legitimate why question. Where do you find the answer to that? How about, where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? Those are questions that the most intelligent people of the world for centuries have wondered about. I can know the answer to those things, but there's only one place I can find the answer. You know where it's at? The Word of God. Once again, it's not because we're so smart, but it is because God in His grace has revealed these things to us in His Word. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. Once again, children and young people, most of us adults, we're very familiar with this passage. I refer to it often. But children, if you've got your Bible, I want you to read it. Because you need to understand the real battle that you are going to have in life as a Bible-believing Christian. There will be some people that you like. Some teachers, some older ones, some of your same age that are good friends with you. And that's okay to be good friends with them. You don't need to be angry with them or hateful to them or mean to them. But you do need to be prepared for the conflict that will come so that you make the right decision. You can know the difficult answers to the difficult questions if you will believe God's answers. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. When you tell your friends that they need to be saved, some of them will look at you and say, saved from what? And you will tell them about Jesus dying on the cross to pay the debt of your sin, and they will look at you and say, That does not make any sense to me at all. You need to be ready for those kinds of responses, because many of you, as you're being raised in church and your family talks about these things, and for you it's just, well, that's just the way it is. But you're going to find out that there are relatively few that are actually embracing the wisdom of God. And so the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Those in this world that are saying that Christians who believe the Bible are foolish and they're not as wise as us, the Bible says, I will destroy the wisdom of those who think they're wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. Man got so smart, they no longer need God. That's what it's saying. Man is just so smart now that we don't need to think that there's even a God. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, but Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, we read earlier. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren. And look, Paul's saying, look around. And he's talking to the Corinthians in their local assembly. They have a church just like us, just a local assembly here. So you can do the same thing. Look around. See your calling, brethren. There are not many wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You're going to have to make some choices, young people, children, older ones. You're going to have to make some choices. As the world continues to be more aggressive, as they go from simply being simple to foolish to scorners, who aggressively will oppose those who embrace the wisdom of God, you need to be ready. But understand how it's going to end. Those that agree with God, they'll be proven to be on the right side of things. Man thinks he's pretty powerful and smart, doesn't he? And I thank God that from time to time before the judgment comes, that God reminds man how puny he is. We can't even plug a hole in the bottom of the ocean. We can't fly planes when a mountain blows up. When the winds tear up the plains, there's nothing we can do but run and hide. God and his grace and his mercy. Now, make no mistake about it. All of those things are serious things, and our prayers are with those that are whose livelihood are affected. We don't make light of those sufferings. And that's not my purpose. But my point is this. Man is a speck of dust. And he thinks he's so smart. But God graciously reminds us, no, you need me. And the only way to be successful is to receive my wisdom. And there's only one place it comes, through faith in Jesus Christ, through the revelation of the will of God in the Word of God. That's it. So you know how it's going to end. So when things get tough and it seems like the other side's winning, and it seems like, oh, their wisdom is going to win out, you stand fast. God will prove himself to be God, and those who believe him will stand firm. Well, we'll do one more before we quit. Receive the instruction of wisdom. To receive the instruction of wisdom. This phrase has the thought of learning through experience of others. Now, earlier we had instruction, doctrine, teaching. That has to do with clear instructions. This is what you do. In this situation, this is what you do. These are the steps you take. But this receive the instruction of wisdom has the thought of learning through the experience of others. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. We just finished the study in the book of Genesis. Did anybody learn anything from the experiences of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph? Did the Holy Spirit kind of turn some lights on for you and say, oh, yeah, now I know what you mean now. I know what the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me because I saw it. And I saw how God worked. And I saw how faith was exercised. I'm glad for the Word of God, aren't you? We have bad examples that we can learn from. Israel, they gave us a lot of bad examples, but I'm glad for them because I don't have to make the same mistakes that Israel made. And that's exactly Paul's point in 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, talking about the history of the nation of Israel. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now, all things happened to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So the Bible gives us this enormous wealth of both good and bad examples to illustrate for us what it means to live by faith, to understand the prosperity that comes from agreeing with God and applying His wisdom. So these are four of the purposes. We'll look at six more of them next time that we're in the book of Proverbs, but I'm glad for the Word of God. I'm glad for the wisdom of God, because we as a creature are ignorant, an ignorant race. When we are compared to sheep, everybody that knows anything about sheep tells us sheep are stupid, and we're sheep. We need a wise shepherd who will instruct us and make us wise. Well, let's stand. We'll be dismissed this evening.